Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles?
Well, that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey, where we bring you our three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you the regular news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And everybody, thank you for joining us on this Thursday evening, August the 18th, in the good year of our Lord, 2022. And I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been an interesting one, and for a lot of reasons, sports, music, and personal, weather's getting nice. Very busy out there for me. Tired. But I love getting on the air every Thursday night with Jeff. He should be popping up any second. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. Lots to talk about. Who and what are the Yankees? Who and what are the Mets? You know, a couple weeks ago, I'm listening to Met fans. They're going to the World Series. They get smoked by a couple of games by the Braves. This Met team is not a great team. It's a good team. It's got two guys at the top of the rotation who are tough to beat, but this is not an unbeatable Met team. Their bullpen's shaky. They don't score a ton of runs, but I do like the fact that they score runs without hitting three-run homers. Still, I think, a player or two away. But this Yankee team I can't figure out, and I'm not sure how I'm going to figure them out. Were they as good as their first half and better? No. Are they as bad as what they seem now? Probably not. Last night was a huge win. I know it's August and it's a Wednesday night game, but that's a big win for the Yankees. They needed something to spark them. Let's hope they come out tonight and they build off of that. But this Yankee team has got to figure out who they are, what their identity is, and what they want to do. I love the fact that they brought up the kids from the minors. I don't care if Florio can play or not. He's better than Hicks already. Hicks is a disaster. This team needs some spark. They brought the kid shortstop up to play third base. I just love the infusion. This team needs something. So let's see how they play. But we got a lot to get to. Jeff just popped up, so I'm going to get him right on. We'll talk about the Deshaun Watson saga, which may be finally coming to an end. I know he's got to serve the new suspension, but you know, there's probably no more talk of what's going to happen, how's it going to happen, when's it going to happen. So we'll get to Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about the passing of one Steve Grimmett, the legendary vocalist for the band Grim Reaper, passed away this week. This is one of my favorite albums, to be honest with you. There's a couple of good songs on here, but See You in Hell and Dead on Arrival. There's a few good tunes on this album. We'll talk a little bit about Steve, a little Black Sabbath tonight. Hey, a little Leonard Anthony. How are you, brother? Wow, yes. I have seen a lot of stuff about what's her name? Oh, my God. Rose Marie, who's a Rose Banker. Yes, good for you, Leonard Anthony, keeping her memory alive. But, yes, she would have been 99. Is that all? I thought she would have been late. I thought she would have been older than that. Wow, only 99. Then again, Dick Van Dyke's 100 or 90-something. So, anyway, we got plenty to get to. NFL news and notes. We'll get to that tonight. We'll talk a little bit about some Sabbath stuff. Bill Belichick unhappy. Who cares about the WNBA? Fernando Tatis is retarded. And I can't say another retarded excuse for getting banned for PEDs. Zach Wilson being called out by a former former NFL quarterback bust. Yes, Zach Wilson's been called out. I'll get the Pope on that one. We got some Tom Brady news. We'll talk about Manti Te'o, Mike Tyson in a wheelchair. Butcher babies. Possible finally to the righting the wrong of Joe Klecko not making it into the Hall of Fame. Joe Klecko is a Hall of Famer. We'll get to talk about that. And another Jet who's up for first year of eligibility, who may get in there. I think we'll probably get in there. But does anybody care? That's a big question for me. Well, we got all of this and so much more as I kick on the mic tonight. So thank you guys for all popping up. That would be great, Leonard. I would be great to honor her. I'm sure that would be something to do, maybe up by the Garibaldi Meucci Museum someplace. Let me know if you're doing something. I'd like to be part of that. Anyway, let's get the show kicked off. Thanks for popping up. Thanks for tuning in. And stick around with Jeff and I for the next couple hours. As I look at the Yankee Stadium, looks a little dark up there as the Yankees get ready to play their fourth game. Game four of their matchup against the Tampa Bay Rays. So let's get on the Pope himself, my buddy, the sexiest man on his side of the screen, and the number one promoter of the Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. product, Mr. Jeff Tonwinski.
What's up,
my man?
Nothing.
Jeff, let's start the show off the right way. How was your week?
You know, it was good.
You know, I used to get a lot easier. I used to get a lot of different. It used to be pretty simple. It was good or it sucked. Now it's a lot of. I'm not so sure.
Well, because I'm trying to do something and talk at the same time. I've been capable of doing more than one thing at a time without. What's up, man? Without running out of oxygen. I got a whole bunch of new stuff from Amazon this week.
Uh huh.
Oh, that's always a good thing.
Well, okay. I mean, are these essentials like underwear and socks, or is this needs or wants?
Why is essential?
Gotcha. True. That's right. Gotcha.
It's all toy related.
Gotcha.
And stuff that I don't need, but it's just there. I had a little extra money, so instead of holding on to it, I was like, I got to spend it.
No.
So I gave it to the Bezos.
Nice. Listen, Jeff needs to fuel the plane. My man needs to fuel the plane.
Yeah, so. Yes, he does. So I got a whole bunch of different. I got like this new phone case.
Nice.
Fake wood and fake carbon fiber and fake leather. That's one thing.
Uh-huh.
The new slippers.
New slippers, nice.
New undies. Yeah, oh, yeah, these are some good slippers, man. Look at these.
You know, I've not gotten into the slipper thing. I do not wear slippers around the house.
Why?
I don't know. I honestly, truly don't know. Don't have a repulsion to the slipper. I just don't wear one. I don't wear a pair. I walk barefoot most of the time in my house. I keep a pair of sandal-type shoes right by the door if I have to run outside for a quick minute.
Now, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
That's what you do. That's what you do. But the slipper there, man, you could go out to the store with them.
Yeah, listen.
Them, you know?
Multifunctional. I get it.
And the best part,
mm-hmm.
I just got these today.
Uh-huh.
Fire lined.
Nice. So you're nice and feet. Now, when you're in the house sitting on the couch, are you wearing the slipper?
Right now, I took them off because I'm going to be in one spot for the next God knows how long.
Right.
So I got to run to the bathroom. But I always wear shoes or something in the house because of the diabetes. So I don't need no foot injuries and then getting a sore on my foot. And,
gotcha. Makes
and
sense.
Getting amputated from the knee down. My luck.
Makes total sense. I'll ask you all you're out there. What do you do around the house? Are you a slipper guy? Are you sandals? Are you socks, bare feet? What do you do? What do you do with yourself when you're in the house? Always good to ask and get some opinions on that.
Hold on, I have to get a T-shirt for Sharon. She got wet. Wasn't because of me.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, every Thursday night, 6:30, 7 o'clock through 9:30. Glad to have you. Show 552 in our history. I hope you guys stick around for a couple hours watching. Actually, it's not the Yankees and the Rays. I'm sorry. I thought it was the fourth game of the Yankee Rays. I believe this is game one of a four-game series coming up against the Blue Jays, another big series. The Yankees need to kind of put a little space. I believe it's still 9 and 9.5, whatever it is. But you do not want to leave this series at 5 or 6. I mean, that would be – let's see. Hold on a second. Let's see. The newspaper probably will not be updated. So Toronto won last night. They're 9.5 to 10. Yankees won last night. So Yankees are 10 over the Blue Jays, and they are 9.5 over the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Yankees, listen, as bad as they're playing, and I think they're 10-21 in their last 31 games or something to like that, they still have a nice lead. So let's see. We'll talk a little about the Yankees and the Mets tonight. But right now we're talking slippers and shoes with Jeff because we're always interested in these things. As George Springer leads off with a double off of Frankie Montas in the first for the Braves. So Jeff, let's get caught up. Any news on the music front? Has anything? Are we looking doubtful for September? Is that a
Oh, that?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with that.
Really?
Yeah, I probably won't know much about that anytime soon.
But it's only a month away.
Yes, I know.
Okay, that's fine. I'll assume...
He played 2 years ago, 3 years ago, so that'll be like a practice.
Gotcha. I'm eating a grape right now. So let's see. All right, so Jeff... I asked you how your week was. I got a bit of a wussy answer.
I'm focusing my energy elsewhere tonight.
You have your energy focused elsewhere?
Yes.
On the slippers?
You're gonna wish.
All right. So I'm gonna not start where I think
you got an off-season neck procedure done. Did you know that?
Who's that?
Danny Jones, your boy.
He did have an off-season neck injury procedure done. Yes.
Yeah, not related to the football injury, though.
That's okay. He's healthy now, playing well.
He's one fucking hit away from looking like Christopher Reeve the rest of his life.
Every player in the NFL can be that same.
Not like him.
I tend to disagree.
He's done. He's done.
I'm going to play you a little clip here, Jeff. I want to get this in early because we got a lot of football stuff to do. So I'm going to get this in.
Okay.
This is an early clip of a song from the gentleman who just passed away, Steve Grimmett from Grim Reaper. Wasn't the biggest fan growing up, but I did run out as a kid. Might have been with you in this. I'm not really sure, but I did buy a lot of my music stuff with you.
I had that album. That might have been mine.
It very well possibly could have been yours. I will not.
You had that for a long time?
40 plus years. This has been in my house since. Forever.
Fine, then. That was mine originally. I bought it because of the... Can you hold up the cover?
Sure.
I bought it because of the cover.
I would say the very early part of my record collection would be linked back to the cover of the album.
Of course.
I would say that we discovered some good, some not-so-good bands. Some of them...
They're not so good because of the cover.
Correct. I would agree with that. Now, once you discovered a band like Iron Maiden or Black Sabbath or let's say some of the more, maybe a little obscure bands like Triumph. Once you discovered them, it didn't matter the album cover. You bought it for the band. But there was the journeys into Manhattan, into the village, in search of the rare, great album bought without any sort of thought process. You didn't get the chance to hear it beforehand. It was, I hope this is good when I get home. I hope this is good when I get home.
Yeah, of course. That was definitely one of them for me.
Yes.
That, and there was another one that I don't know where it went. You may have it from the band Samson.
Oh, I do. I have a few Samson albums. That is very correct. And I would definitely say some of that came from others. But I do have still my favorite name, still the favorite title to a song probably of all time, short of Spinal Tap, is I Want to Be the Seat Under a Schoolgirl's Bike. It's probably one of my favorite song titles of all time.
We've all lived that fantasy at one time or another.
Yes.
The realm has enjoyed.
So I'm just passing that on. I'm going to play a little something from the album real quick, just so everybody can hear what we heard as a kid. I'm going
See You in Hell, My Friend. Hello, Michael.
Yes, I'm going to play a little See You in Hell, My Friend. I'm going to just stop share. Share it. Share screen. And share. And pull that up. Sorry, guys. It's a little bit of a process to do this, so don't mind me. Oh, what the fuck? Hold on. Where is the screen now? Oh, there it is. Can I make you an offer? You tell me I get my eyes on you. You know, first thing, the voice don't match the face. Right?
No, nothing about this band matches anything.
Now, I would also say, I think I stole this guy's look. In the sense, at for some point of my late high school years, I could be found walking around the halls of McKee High School with a Japanese bandana around my thigh.
You were gay.
I'm just telling you, it was there. I don't know specifically.
You were gay.
See you in hell, my friend. That's about all I can deal with that. Very good tune. I'm a big fan of that song.
Yeah, you like it?
I do. Now I do want to give you a little bit of Steve in 2019.
Okay.
Notice the cane and the half a leg.
Half a leg?
Yeah, so have to look at his right leg.
Or lack of?
Or the lack thereof. Yeah. Steve's not necessarily hitting the heights very well at 2019, Jeff.
It looks like something hit him in 2019. Oh, my God. I just bought it.
Yeah, it's not a pretty scene. I'll say that Steve was out there still doing his thing.
No more.
He passed away. They do not know why he passed away. As of the writing of the show, I did not catch why he passed away. He didn't seem the autopsy was done yet.
Well, is there any reason for the missing appendage?
I tried to look into it. All I could find was he had some sort of injury while he was in Ecuador. This is going back a few years, and it seemed that it went very badly, and they had to amputate his leg. And not only did they have to amputate his leg, he was not allowed to leave until he could pay his bill. So it seems that Steve's fans got together and came up with the $14,000 to get him out of Ecuador without the leg.
So this is somebody that did not reach a staggering heights in the music business.
Which is another reason why I wanted to talk about this. When I brought my phone.
I mean, listen, no, first of all, not that I would be able to foot the bill on a $14,000 medical bill in Ecuador.
Yeah.
But could you imagine that? First, we're taking your leg, and what is he going to say? They're like, what am I going to do, hop out of here? What the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah, I don't know the full story behind it, but I do know that in the article I read, he was very kind of, you know, basically he said he never saw a dime of money from Grim Reaper, which I can certainly understand. Yeah, I don't know how many albums. Well, I guess now we have to look up how many albums they sold. I guess we need to look that up, right? Because we can't really have
a conversation. I can't put a number. I can't put a numeral on it, but I can tell you this much.
Go ahead.
I would say that it falls under the category of not many.
All right. Let's over under 1.5 million.
Already, that's very disparaging. I'm going to say under.
You're going to say under 1.5 million. All right. Let's see. Let's see if we can. Legal battles, commercial success. Let's see if we have here. Wow, a lot of former members of this band. Whoa, holy cow! There have been one.
Even Leonard says under.
Huh?
Even Leonard says under.
discography. They actually put out 1, 2, 3. I guess 3 albums, 4 albums at most. I don't see a record sales, which is not a good thing. Boy, I can tell you there's a lot of people been in this band. Holy cow.
Yeah, I got to look myself to see. When you say, past members?
Yeah.
That's actually not that bad. I would have figured it's probably more of them.
Let's see, Grim Reaper. Let's do Grim Reaper record sales. Record sales. So I can honestly say there's probably not a mansion bought with the money from Grim Reaper.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe they even had trouble getting lunch.
I can't even find anything that tells me how many records they sold. And I shut off the Amazon. I should have left Amazon. I maybe could have found it that way. I'm going to go on a limb and just say it wasn't very many. What is the history of the singer?
Oh, due to legal issues, they weren't even called Grim Reaper anymore.
No.
Steve Grimmett's Grim Reaper.
That is correct, yes.
2 albums under that name were released, Walking in the Shadows and At the Gates. So, at best, they have about 5 albums.
I believe that is correct. If I think 3 with the original Grim Reaper. And then a couple after that were probably pressed in your garage and you just didn't know they were there.
From Steve Grimmett's Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I'm going to look right now. Let me just see something real quick on Amazon.
Okay.
Sometimes Amazon can let you down.
Yeah.
And not have certain things. But let me see.
Yeah, I'm really looking.
Grim Reaper. Grim Reaper. Well, there you go. There they are. Artist Grim Reaper. Oh, and Steve Grimmett's Grim Reaper is there. I don't know who some of these clowns are, but See You in Hell is here. And
yeah.
A whole bunch of albums by bands called Grim Reaper. I mean, hundreds.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I can't seem to find Grim Reaper record sales. Let's see. Let's try that.
Oh, you want to hear something sad?
Please.
They just put out an album on March 11th.
Come on.
A live album.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, nothing about them was alive.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I cannot seem to find anything in there with the band. And how many, I would say it's not a good sign if I can't figure out how many albums the band has sold in their career. And again, Steve was on welfare at the, because of COVID. For some reason, they said that his wife said he loved to play around with planes. Now, I don't know if that was toy planes or if he was a pilot.
They just said on the last album, there was a picture of a plane on the album.
Yeah, he was some sort of he was into aeroplanes.
No more.
And again, he said he never made a dime from Grim Reaper, which I can honestly say is probably true because
Well, I don't find it very shocking. And what I can say, and with a solid belief, is that he will not be making any money off that man right now.
No, I would say he
ceased to be.
I would say there's very little in the way of residuals coming the way of Mrs. Grimmett at this point.
Yeah, she's not going to ride the wave of the Grim Reaper name.
Yeah, I'd almost say that, you know, sometimes when a guy passes away from a big band like that, a big band, you know, there'll be a flood of people buying their memorabilia. I almost got a feeling, unless the leg is for sale, Jeff, there won't be much Grim Reaper memorabilia floating around.
No, I don't think so.
So, anyway, Steve Gregg, guy, guys had a great voice, didn't match his face.
I will say this much, though, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
It's amazing. When you think of some of these 80s bands, and then you're like, I wonder where they went, I wonder what happened to them. And then when you find out, and you see this, and it's like, wow, man. You know, it's like, what a shame. Whatever happened to these people? Like, did they keep going? Did they think that they were going to make it? What happened? And then you find out, like, you know, there's Steve Grimmett, well, 7/8 of them, in a video from 2019. And, you know, whatever happened, I'm going to guess, or it wasn't diabetes that took his leg.
No, he had some sort of an accident or some sort of an injury in Ecuador, and they had to have a surgery, and it didn't go well. He lost the leg.
Wow. I mean, first of all, I would hope to never be in a third world country. And, you know, just fucking,
nice one, Leonard. Nice.
I got injured in Ecuador. It's like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah. That was read Leonard's pretty good. Did you read Leonard's comment?
Yes. It's a shame. You know, he met somebody. He won't be meeting anybody anymore.
No, but, you know, it's funny you say that, Jeff. You know, you think that automatically you see these, a couple videos on MTV, you buy a couple albums and you think it automatically these guys have, you know, the Muku Bucks, they're set for life. And then you realize that most of these guys are one-hit wonders or less. And you're right. I would love to do that. Maybe we'll add a segment where we'll find those Grim Reaper-type bands. They were talking about one or the other. I was driving home and Eddie Trunk was on Hair Nation doing his show. And I just happen to flip it. I don't listen to Eddie very much anymore. I find him condescending and a little bit of a blowhard. But every once in a while, I'll stop in to see what he's talking about. And he was talking to people. Somebody asked about the band Britney Fox. I'm sure you don't remember
them.
Yes, and may he rest in peace. Is right. We tease, we laugh, but we do say may he rest in peace. And I remember Britney Fox for one song. They had the song Girl School. The guy had a really raspy voice.
Yeah.
And then listen, the Trump was like, these guys were nobodies. They had one or two songs, a couple of albums. They didn't do anything. They weren't even a theater act at that point. They couldn't have played the Intimate Lounge. And you know, you don't realize, you think that automatically you see these guys on MTV or on one of the video shows, or next thing you know, they're playing the music on the radio and you think they're superstars. And you don't realize how many of them just had a passing glance and called it a day.
Yeah, but you know what? A band like Britney Fox, right? I was never a fan of them.
Me either.
The name of them alone just got me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw them, I was like, that put every nail in the coffin that needed to be.
Yeah.
That they might have made some money, but even at the time, even if they made decent money at the time, what's going to happen? You know, they didn't keep going. They didn't – nothing good came of it for them. You know what I mean?
Nope, I agree.
So, to me, it's like, all right, it is what it is. You know, even if they made a little money, by the time they split it and you know, it didn't carry them very far.
No, and, you know, like, what's his name? He's the singer for Accept now, Mark Tarnello. Mark was in a band called T.T. Quick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So T.T. Quick had a little bit of power, a little staying power, not a lot, but a little. When I got to interview him a few years back, you know, he was an electrician for years, ready to get into the electrician's union, and then he got the call from Accept, which is, you know, I guess the miracle of all miracles for a guy, but the guy was basically working as an electrician in Jersey for years. Look at our friend Bobby Gustafson, you know, down toiling away in Florida for years. you know, not getting out there, just getting out there now with violence. But yeah, So you know what I mean? We don't realize how a couple of songs in an album, for the most part, unless it's like a number one, you know, you've had some songs over the years where it's a one hit wonder and people made millions off of it. But most of these guys made next to nothing and probably moved on in their career to either, you know, recording session guys or, you know, maybe in a backup in somebody else's band.
Well, a lot of them didn't make no money as it was. You're right. And because they don't make no money off of record sales.
Yeah.
And they made,
well, they did back then. Maybe.
You know, and they never live up to it. But, you know, those bands in the 80s were a little bit different.
Yes.
Some of them had a run. Some of them didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But whatever money they might have made back then is probably gone.
No, I would agree. I think there's different levels. You have those bands like, let's say, White Lion, who had a couple of albums and a little bit of success. Probably made some money enough to kind of say, we're on the cusp if I take care of my money. I mean, look at Vito Bratta. Hasn't done anything in 30 years. Still living on.
I just read about it. Vito Bratta lives in the same house.
Yes.
That he grew up in.
Read the same article, yeah.
It leads me to believe that, you know, somebody just handed him the keys to it. You know, like he didn't wander far from home.
No. Again, he seemed to have some issues.
As a matter of fact, if you read about White Lion, they're still using Nicky Capozzi's name.
Oh, they really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And he was only in there for a brief, like maybe the last album or so, was that, if I'm not mistaken, Nicky?
No, I don't think he was in there for the last album. I think he was more towards the beginning.
You think?
Yeah.
Now you're forced.
Well, they didn't put many albums out.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm going to have to take a look at this now, Jeff. It's funny, I used to see Nicky. My wife used to think he was a homeless guy when we used to hang out at the surf club.
Nicky Capozzi?
Yeah, he was a homeless guy.
I didn't know who he was for years, and then all of a sudden one day we bumped into him. I was with Joey, and we bumped into him someplace, and he had this fucking head of hair, and like everybody else had their hair, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And then I see Joey talking to him. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Let's see. So Nicky Capozzi, 83 to 84. So he was there early. You're absolutely right. He was only there for a year, a little more than a year. Yeah, he did. I'm trying to see what. I don't think they give me who's on what album. I have to look that up right now. But let's see. Tramp solo career, Lebenzo, Greg D'Angelo, Vito Bratta, Mike Tramp.
Greg D'Angelo, does it give any information on him?
It just says James Lebenzo and Greg D'Angelo joined Zach Wilde's band Lynyrd Skynyrd in the mid-90s, which became the Pride and Glory band when D'Angelo was replaced by Brian Tichy. James Lomenzo went on to record with ex-Van Halen frontman David Lee Roth. It's really all it gives me about Greg D'Angelo. He doesn't even seem to have a Wikipedia page.
Well, I believe Greg D'Angelo might have been in this Lady Cadaver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Lady Cadaver, Cities, Deceiver. Those bands were like kind of the bigger bands on the island in their time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Greg D'Angelo played in a couple of those. He was definitely in one of those bands.
Okay.
James Lomenzo played in, he's in Megadeth now, I think.
I think he is. So it says, after moving from Denmark to Spain and New York City, Tramp, and met guitarist Vito Bratta in 1983. They started to put together a new band and recruited drummer Nicky Capozzi and bassist Felix Robinson, formerly of Angel, and named the group White Lion. White Lion was signed by Electric Records. They did the album Fight to Survive, which eventually was released. And then Felix left. With Tampa. I'm just trying to see. Dave Spitz. Okay, so it seems like at the end of 85 Dave Spitz left to join Black Sabbath, replaced Nicky Capozzi with somebody who was fired and replaced by Anthrax drummer Greg D'Angelo. in 1985.
Exactly. I think he was with somebody else, too.
Who's that? D'Angelo?
Rick D'Angelo, yeah.
Yeah, he might have been. So I the Pride album was, he was gone before Pride, which I guess was their big album. So,
yeah.
So, all right. So that you know, that's the, to me, that's the, that to me is the example of a band that had some success, could have probably led them to greater things. A lot of them all went to, some of them went to bigger bands, you know, with Lomenzo and Greg D'Angelo. They went out to bigger and better things, I guess. And White Lion subsequently dropped out of sight. But, you know, I like to do that. Maybe we'll do that where, you know, whatever happened to, and then try to track down some of the guys in some of those more obscure metal bands. You know, maybe not the hair metal guys. You're not much into those. But maybe we could find some of the Grim Reaper types, you know, and see what happened to some of those guys.
Just about any fucking 80s metal band. I mean, when you see bands like Metal Church that where you thought that they were going to make it,
yeah,
like their second or third album, and maybe they're still playing fucking the Starland Ballroom.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like, what happened there, fellas?
Yeah, I mean, you have different versions. You have the bands that were, you know, pretty big. We're playing maybe arenas, you know, the Queensrychs of the world, who are now playing, you know, Starland Ballroom, and, you know, that are still around. But then you got the bands that, you know, maybe had a quick hit for a summer or an album, and then they were completely gone after that. So again, I like to look up some of those bands, so I'll do that myself. And in the meantime, we got a lot to talk about here, Jeff and Tom. Again, we pay a little tribute to the late, I won't say great, but the late, not the hell, late great Steve Grimmett, great voice, and we're sorry to see him go. He's only 62 years young.
Some of them left earlier.
Yep, some of them did leave earlier, so. Jeff, let's get into the Deshaun Watson thing. I do want to get into that because that seems to be the big topic for today. I mean, I want to talk Jets and Giants. Lots of stuff going around for the Jets and Giants. We'll get to that next. We got a lot to talk about, so we'll move it along. But Jimmy Mack opened for Bread at the Spectrum. Jimmy Mack opened for Bread at the Spectrum in PA. What's your initial reaction to the 11-game, $5 million fine that Deshaun Watson, I guess, has finally given and agreed to?
I have a lot of different things about that, man.
Go ahead.
I really do. One, once again, I got to say, he was not found guilty of anything in the court of law.
Okay.
So I don't understand why they kept pushing and pushing and pushing.
Okay.
Goodell went, and let's just back up a little bit.
Sure.
Goodell went and got an outside entity to hear this case and to come up with the punishment. And they did. And what did they say, 6 games, 5 games, whatever it was?
I think it was 6 games, no monetary fine.
Okay. So he didn't like it.
Yeah.
So now they decided, well, now they got to find somebody that can hit them with a bigger suspension, bigger fine. First of all, if the guy wasn't found guilty in the court of law, all right, anybody could pay off anybody. People pay off kidnappers. They give ransom so that they get their loved ones back.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there's a big difference between what he was accused of and everything else.
Yep.
Okay. So before anybody takes it and twists it, it's a different story. I'm just saying that unless he was convicted,
mm-hmm.
he didn't do anything wrong in the eyes of the law, but the NFL law is completely different. I don't think it should be that way. All right. There's plenty of guys in the NFL
mm-hmm.
that have done far worse than hit a girl in the ass with their pecker. Antonio Brown did his share of shit, and he just kept coming back. Josh Gordon, who only hurts himself and keeps getting fucking suspended over and over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And like a revolving door. It's like, it's almost a joke at this point in time when he does get suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, okay, we don't like that number, so we're going to go for a different number. What happens now? What happens next? Is Goodell going to allow do-overs on the field? If somebody misses a field goal going into overtime and everybody bet on that team and now they lost, is it going to be like, nope, do-over because they need to win, so they're going to kick the ball again? I think they should have left the penalty as it was, eat it, because no matter what you give them, isn't going to be right in somebody's eyes anyway. whether it was a full season, five games, two seasons, whatever it was, it's whatever, okay? Now you're swining them $5 million. Okay, but they also said that I believe the Browns and the NFL are each putting up $1 million to some kind of research on, like, to make sure this doesn't happen again or something.
Okay.
Maybe I misread that. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like, so why was the NFL finding themselves? What is the point of this? How about this? If you think that Deshaun Watson was guilty of what he did, okay, which puts him on no better than any other sexual predator that does something, whether it's drag a girl down the subway, touch a baby, whatever, then he is banned indefinitely from the NFL, period. Roger Goodell didn't want to swing the sword on this one. And he got somebody else to do it, and they didn't give him the right number. So what did he do? He just tacked on an extra few games. That's it. That's it. I think that this is the biggest embarrassment that the NFL could have done to themselves as it is with everything that's going on. That's what I think. I think they should have just, you want to just clear it up and let it go away. They weren't lining up outside the stadium, boycotting the team and everything else. We didn't hear reports of that. We didn't see that. Just take what they gave them, walk away and hang your head and just let it go past. That's it. Okay. Because now what happens when the next guy comes, when somebody's speeding in the car with a loaded gun and kids in the car, or who got beat the shit out of his girlfriend or knocked his wife out in an elevator? And then what are they going to do? Oh, we didn't like that one, so come on, redo. It's just, it's amazing. You went out and got a special counsel for this, somebody to investigate this. They said five games. That was it. You're the one that went out and hired this person. That's how I feel.
Okay. I'll give you a little bit of background. So the NFL and the players negotiated because they weren't happy with the in the past Goodell's rulings. So
who's they?
The Players Association. So the players and Goodell.
The Players Association allowed their guy to go from six games to 11 games.
Well, here's how it changed and here's how it works. So in the past, whenever there was a violation, Goodell would be the judge, jury, and executioner. So the last CBA they voted, they came out and said, okay, here's the new way it's going to work. We have, the NFL has now, this is not an outside person. I believe this is a person who basically works for the NFL. This Sue Robinson, the former judge. She will hear all the cases. She will conduct an investigation, and then she will make come up with whatever the penalty is. But Roger Goodell, being the commissioner of football, if he doesn't like her, what she has to say or how she rules, has the right to not only veto it and throw it out, he has the right to either A, decide for himself or appoint somebody else to do another check, which makes absolutely no sense. Because otherwise you might as well just left it the way it was before, because basically this woman is just basically fodder. It's just, you do the legwork and then I'll make a decision.
It's like this. When you were a kid, right, and you did something wrong,
right,
and your mother slapped in the head for it, okay, was there a need for your father to come and hit you twice as hard?
No.
All right, but sometimes it happened, right?
Sure.
All right, and then sometimes if your mother got mad at you and said, well, now you have to go to bed after dinner and you got to go in your bedroom and you can't watch TV, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, but Mom, it's Friday night. Well, it doesn't matter. And then if you pitched your bitch long enough, your father would come in and say, not only did you get Friday night, but now you got Saturday night too. Now get the fuck in your room. See you later. We'll see you Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is that what they should do is, you want an independent investigator, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that independent investigator goes, says, you live by it. You don't change it. You can't change it because you got an independent investigator. Not for nothing. If the independent investigator said six games with 20-something people, filing cases and being paid off, but nothing went to trial and got, found guilty for Deshaun Watson, that is concerning about what that person did when they held an office.
I would agree on everything you said makes total sense, especially that last part, but all of it makes sense. I don't understand how the Players Association allowed Goodell to have eventually a total veto power over this whole thing, even though that's what they were trying to avoid in the beginning. So it makes no sense. Now, listen, I didn't think she made the right ruling. I'm sorry, but even if he didn't go to court, he was you're talking 20-something, 24, 26 people came and accused this guy. At some point, he needed to pay the price. Now, what that price was, I don't know. They could not let him get through the season without a bigger one fine and two penalty. So I don't have a problem with the outcome. I don't like the way it was done, though. I agree with you. I think
this is what I don't like. Yeah. He came across the penalty,
right?
And the independent arbitrator handed it down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Six games. No penalty, no ball fine.
Right.
So now you said no, nope, not good enough. It's like, you know,
yeah,
two overs.
Okay? Well, you already knew before the outcome it wasn't going to be good enough.
Yeah, you got 11 games and $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically doubled everything and then times the thing by $5 million. His last.
Yeah.
But now the thing is simply this: what maybe. He keeps saying he's innocent, but yet he hasn't shown anything yet, which leads me to believe you don't have anything to show.
Yeah.
But let's just go back to the women. Everybody says, well, he paid people off. Yes, he did pay people off.
Yes, he did.
He admitted that.
Yep.
But maybe he paid people off because he just wanted it to go away. You know,
I just happen
to want to look at both sides of this because I think the way it was handled, like, you got to be kidding me. The union is supposed to stick up for your players, not throw a guy in the fucking fire and then whatever's left they take out.
Yeah, but you got to remember something. You know, while football is a male-dominated sport, with the advent of fantasy football, and even during COVID, there's a lot of women who are into this game. And what the NFL Players Association couldn't have was them looking like we're defending a guy who's been accused 26 times of touching women. So the NFL Players Association needed to do a little bit of, okay, we got to give something here. Now, the NFL wanted a full season. The NFL wanted the full season, which I think the PA system, the NFL PA would have said, hey, we're taking you to court. So they thought 11 games was good enough, and you know, he'll get on the field at some point this year. But to me, the guys have played in a year and a half and more. I don't know how well he's going to play, even if he does play. But and how much is he going to get booed? He was getting royally booed in the first preseason game. So, you know, who knows?
And he's going to get royally booed this year.
Absolutely.
And he may get royally booed the rest of his career, but that was Cleveland's stupidity to even make a trade and take a player on like that.
Yeah.
Especially when it would turn around and said, I would have said to Texans, you want him? I'll give you a sixth and seventh round pick in 22, 23, 24. No? All right, call me. That's my offer. Call me when you're ready. Because sooner or later, he's going to be free anyway.
Sure, 100%.
So then we'll just sign him there and just let him read.
Yeah, he. Beside all of this, he said flat out he didn't want to play in Texas anyway. In the Texas,
yeah, so
Texas,
you're getting something from him.
100%. Now, the big question for me is, so there's a guy who didn't play all of last year. He's going to get probably very little work the next 2 weeks because...
No. He already said he ain't playing again the rest of this. That's it.
Oh, okay. Because he's allowed, I think, to play right up to the first game.
Yeah,
okay.
Until August 30th, but he's not doing anything now until he comes back.
So, I mean, now he's going to be gone out of his way not to play all of last year, very little this offseason, obviously, and then now won't be back until close to December. I mean, we're not expecting much out of Cleveland. We talked about it last week, but if Cleveland is, I don't know, let's say comes back and they're 4-7, 3-8, are you rushing him onto the field behind that team or just to get him some snaps? Or are you saying, hey, man, I'm not throwing this guy to the Wolves?
You have to. You have to, because now you have to see where you stand. You made a major, major mistake in signing this guy and taking this guy on. A major mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more that can be said. Why would you want a guy that, you know, at this point in time, he didn't play last year.
Right.
Right? And he didn't play the year before, correct?
No, I think he did play the year before. I think he didn't finish the season, but I'm pretty sure he played that end of that season.
So you're
saying
he played in 2020.
Yes, he didn't play in 21.
And he didn't play in 21.
I'm looking it up, but I'm almost positive he played in 2020. Let me get his football reference up here. Why am I not seeing it? Suspended. I don't care about suspensions. Just show me. I'll try this. Let's see if it's here.
You put in stats.
I did, and it gives me fantasy. Yeah, it's giving me bullshit. It's not giving me what I want. Well, he played in 2020 because he had 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a QB rating of 63. So he did play in 2020, nothing in 21, and obviously will not play more than six games this year.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. If I'm Cleveland, you kind of have to get him on the field at some point this year just to get him. So you can't possibly think that he's going to come back next year and be the same player he was after missing two full seasons.
Nah.
You'd have to think there's got to be a drop-off. Even though he's still a young guy, it's still got to be a drop-off.
Well, how old is he, 25, 26?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I just closed up his thing. But, yeah, I would say 25, 26.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I've never been high on a guy. I know a lot of people. I know he threw for a lot of yards, but I still have not seen him win a big game. I'm not a big fan. I thought that if you're going to give me a guy who's a young quarterback who's going to get the first guaranteed contract, I for the life of me can't imagine why it's him. I can't imagine. I know Cleveland had to sell their soul to get a quarterback, but
it's once again goes to show how highly valuable a quarterback that to play in this league is looked upon.
Oh yeah, you're 100% right.
They'll give up the future for the present, which you never know when the present is going to start.
Sure.
Then throw a bank at him and hope it sticks. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, it really is. So I guess I would say at this point the Deshaun Watson saga, I think, is over. Well, let me ask you this question. Okay, so he comes back and plays the last six games. You know, he's still got a couple of court cases in front of him, civil court, obviously, not criminal. But if he goes out there and loses these cases, I don't think he's settled with the first two. If he were to lose those, does the NFL change their mind, or is he done?
I don't know, but you know what? I think that if I'm Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be calling lawyers up. I'm going to say, listen, how am I getting suspended for something I haven't been found guilty of?
Was negotiated. Dude, this is over.
This is negotiated, but was he involved in the
absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. The Players Association, along with his agents, they talked and they said he's going to have to sit. Now, if they probably, I would say this, the NFL probably said you're out for the year or indefinitely, and they must have came back with, well, we want 8 games, and they said, okay, we'll offer you, 14, and they negotiated down to 11. I think Watson knew he's going to have to sit to show he's making amends and then hope for the best after that. But I truly believe that he was completely involved in this.
Well, evidently he's completely involved in this. Yeah. And he keeps saying, I think that it's hysterical that he keeps saying that he has proof that he's, that he's innocent.
Yeah.
And one of the articles I read, he says he keeps trying to tell people that he's innocent, but nobody's listening. I haven't heard anything, nothing, no articles with him. I haven't seen any interviews with him. I haven't seen any proof come forward from him that he's innocent of all charges. But yet he continues.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Say that.
Yeah.
What is it? What is your proof? Because now you're getting punished.
Yeah.
What are you going to wait till afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. What's the point? You're already passed. More than half of them, more than three quarters of them, in court, and you were found innocent. So, I don't think you could get tried again. So why not say, like, listen, okay, this is my proof.
Yeah,
I
at this point, if you were that concerned about it, you would have went to it. You would have had a press conference, thrown all your proof on the table right in front of the American people, and said, here I am, here's what I got, and there's no way in the world I did this.
Yeah.
Wow, Baker Mayfield announced the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. Cleveland's crew. You know, I got to be honest. I mean, first off, Baker's going to win that job. We all knew that. Sam Darnold had his chance last year and dropped the ball, right, Jeff? You would agree with that?
Well, I could have been out there with Sam Darnold, and I would have had a better chance of winning than Sam Darnold would. Yeah. Sam Darnold sucks.
Yeah,
if they didn't owe him all of that money, he wouldn't even be in an NFL uniform.
I think the short-term answer, this is a way for Baker Mayfield to kind of a reclamation project, you know, kind of resurrect his career from, you know, I mean, he was abused by teammates, fathers, teammates talking about him. They essentially, you know, Jeff, think about it. Here's a guy who's your number one draft pick a few years ago. First one, number one overall. You're paying money to the guy, just took you to the playoffs and beat the Steelers the year before. And you trade for a guy who might not even play for a year, and you're being replaced by this guy. You know, that's about as insulting for Baker Mayfield as it gets. And, you know, I think it was a no-brainer. He was going to Carolina. He was going to start, and we all knew that. And this is a one-year thing. They're going to move on to Matt Carroll next year, the kid from Matt Corral.
Don't listen. Don't rule that out.
I'd be shocked.
You know what? I'll tell you why. Don't rule that out. Okay, there's two men. One next year, if you thought there was a lot of quarterback movement, there's going to be even more quarterback movement next year. Okay, and I'm going to tell you right now. Follow me with this one. You got Baker Mayfield. You got Garoppolo that, for whatever reason, is still in a 49er uniform.
Yeah, I still don't understand that one. Okay? Yeah.
You're going to have at least one quarterback from the Pittsburgh Steelers that's going to be looking for a home next year. That gives us up to three.
Yep.
Okay? You're going to have Marcus Mariota, because I don't see him being long-term over there.
Yeah, I agree. Atlanta. Yep. Wentz.
Okay? You're going to have Baker Mayfield, possibly. You're going to have Sam Darnold, possibly. You're going to have Jeff Goff, possibly. Okay? That's seven without even really thinking hard right now.
Okay.
Who knows Jalen Hurts? Who knows what goes on with him?
Tua.
Aaron Rodgers, because you just don't know what the fuck is going to happen with him, because he changes his mind every fucking couple of years.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Bridgewater, where did he end up? Where did he go?
Teddy Bridgewater, I thought was in Denver. Hold on.
I don't know where he went.
That's a great question.
I don't know where he went. But we're already up to almost 10. I was like 9 or 10 that we're just up to. And that's not even with like, trying hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Teddy Bridgewater at the moment is a backup quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, Miami Dolphins. Yes. So who knows? You may have him and Tua gone out of there.
That's very possible.
Okay, so you just don't know what's going to end up happening. And, you know, so next year, Mayfield... Maybe he stays in Carolina.
Yeah.
He has a good year. Let's say he passes, let's say he hits 4,300 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and Carolina, I forget how many games they won last year.
Not
but
many.
This year they're 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
You don't keep them?
Well, if you're Carolina, it depends on the young kid. There's a young kid that they drafted this year out of Ole Miss that they're high on. Here's the thing. If there's a lot that could go on up there, I mean, first off, they need to have a winning season to keep the coach around. If they lose, he may be gone. If he stays around, you know, they may want to go to the kid next year and develop. I think a lot's going to depend on what their season's like. But I wouldn't pick them to be more than a 4 or 5 win team.
Why would you want to take a chance with Baker Mayfield now this year?
Mm-hmm.
Put him out there, possibly start trending the team in the right direction, only to remove him and put a rookie in and maybe go even like further down the hole.
Jeff, if they go out there and win 8, 9, 10 games, let's say they win 8, 9 games, let's keep it too simple, 500 or just below it, and he throws for, you know, 3,800 yards, you know, 25 TDs, 12 interceptions, yeah, I could see him coming back next year. I think the bigger question is not whether Carolina wants him back. The bigger question is, does he go out there and try to get a big payday?
I think he needs more than 1 year for that.
I don't think so. I think if he goes out there and has a successful season,
he has too much behind him to look back on. He needs work in front of him.
Well, I you know what? I won't argue it, but you know the way this league is. You know, Minnesota could be looking for a quarterback next year. Seattle's still looking for a quarterback as far as I'm concerned. You know, there are a lot of teams. Miami could be looking for a quarterback. Brady could be gone after this year. I mean, Tom Brady took a 2-week vacation in the middle of a training camp. Something's buggy on that. No, he comes back, I think, on Monday.
Something is up.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady just doesn't do that. So I don't know. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I think more than the Carolina Panthers not wanting him, I think this is an audition, and I think he was looking for a big year, and then he goes out and gets the next check.
I think he already knows that he didn't do it in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So now has a new chance for him in Carolina, but he needs to do it at least 2 years in Carolina, or he needs to do it 2 years before he gets a big year. And what do you consider a big payday for Baker Mayfield? He ain't going to be making no $50 million a year.
No, no, but you know, he could get himself a 4-year, $25 million a year contract.
Baker Mayfield is anywhere from a lower mid to upper low-end quarterback in my eyes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. He's
from 16 to 32, but I would say between 16 to 25, 22, somewhere like that. That's what I would rate him.
I wouldn't argue that one. I would say he's probably in the area of the 20. I would say 20, 21. I mean, I'd have to sit down and put it on paper. I've never been high on him from the get-go. But, again, it's a reclamation project. He needs to have a big – if he goes out and has a big year and turns that team around, yeah, he writes his checkbook and maybe he stays there. I don't know. It's a great question. We'll see. We'll see. Definitely see how it plays out. Jeff and Tom here at Hard Rock and Sports every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Glad you guys have joined us tonight. Looking forward to a lot of fun tonight. We got a bunch of stuff to get to. I want to switch over to Jets and Giants for a few minutes. Jeff, before we get to the way the teams look.
Before you do that, Tom, I got to run in the other room real quick.
Go do what you can. Yankees down 5-0 here early. Frankie Montas has not been impressive so far. And, of course, the Yankee offense has not been impressive. So, another tough start. You know, this is an important series for the Yankees. You know, you can't get swept here. You get swept here, it's 5-6 games. You know, it's still a good lead, but your lead was 14 a couple of days ago. So this Yankee team's got to at least split, if not win this series. So they have to wake up. This is not a time to start losing games. Toronto is all but giving you the chance to win this division. So if the Yankees win three out of four, yeah, beautiful. At the very least, this team needs to split. Again, guys, thanks to all the people who out there following us. And, of course, thanks to all the people who support us. I mentioned them before the show on Facebook, but, you know, Jay Giacio and Sam Bone and RFO Records, our brothers at Black Sasquatch, and, of course, the Hemp Wizard guys. Love those guys. So thank you to all of those guys, our friend Chris LaFrancesca and RFO Records. And, of course, a big thanks to our friend Marco Scott and American Premium Vodka for all those people who support us each and every week here while we do what we do. So no guest scheduled. By the way, I did talk to my good buddy Frank Jeffrey, and Frank's had a rough summer, spring, but he's starting to feel better. He'll be popping up on the show sooner, I hope. Now that Jeff and I are teammates, let's talk a little fantasy football.
What did you say? Something was wrong with Frank?
Well, yeah, he had some issues. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but he's recovered nicely and he's feeling like himself, so he's ready to get back involved with the show and call in and do a little more football with us. So I'm looking forward to having Frank on in the near future. So
I hope he's all right.
But now that Jeff and I are teammates in the fantasy football world. Have you done any a little research this week, Jeff? Have you kind of gotten the bug? Have you gotten the fantasy football bug?
I looked at the quarterback situation, and put names on paper. But tomorrow I'm off tomorrow, so I'm going to be able to look at more. It's still. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope that when we go, I hope that we get a good pick.
Yep.
But I don't want the first pick.
Too much pressure.
I want to pick – no, not that there's too much pressure. I want to pick third.
Well, you got to explain the theory.
In an ideal world, I want to pick third because you're still going to get an awesome pick.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, and I want to see what happens. You know, is there going to be the rush on quarterbacks? Is there going to be a rush on wide receivers?
Yeah.
Who's going to blow your mind and maybe take something like Man, I would have never thought of taking him and whatever. So to me, I want to see, I want to pick third. And then there's a way I could see by the two people that pick in front of me, okay, I could see which way this is trending. So I need to make my pick. Not that I need to make my pick based on who's picking what, but if there's going to be a run on quarterbacks, I'm not going to wait till we come back around and pick a quarterback. And then maybe we're going to get stuck with a Baker Mayfield. So that I don't want to happen.
Yeah.
So if I see the first guy off the board is Josh Allen.
Okay.
Like, okay, Josh Allen's first guy off the board. Second guy off the board is Pat Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Okay, that would have been two of my top three right off the bat. So now that means I need to take a quarterback because anybody else that's going to be worthwhile, I don't think is going to be there come the next time around.
Real
quick, one of my other top quarterbacks that I – when the list that I made, Joe Burrow, I just realized he's recovering from appendicitis surgery.
Lost a bunch of weight, yeah.
Yeah. So is he going to be one that you're going to want to start as your starting quarterback?
Hmm.
That may be one that you may want to watch slip down a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe go with somebody you're going to end up having to take somebody that maybe you wouldn't have made your first pick.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. So you got to remember. So if you're picking high in the first round, which means you're picking low in the second round. You almost want to go seven or eight because you're going to pick and then you're going to pick again very quickly.
I understand that.
But I would rather pick three. But now, the question becomes, do you take the quarterback because there are so few? There aren't a lot of great running backs. I'm a little fuzzy this year. I think the strategy is going to have to be some serious thinking on our part because, if you don't take the quarterback early, once you get to seven or eight, it doesn't matter who you get. It's basically the same quarterback.
Well, that's not true. I put pen to paper last week, and I came up with – I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow and Saturday. I'll spend a little time with it. I came up with 12 to 14 quarterbacks that I would say that I could be happy with having as the quarterback on my team.
Okay.
Now, if it was 12, then 10, 11 and 12 were made the list, but they were hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah, do some thinking.
And it was 13, 14 that made the list.
Yeah.
But I was just like kind of iffy. I threw them on there because of name only. One of those people was Tom Brady.
Okay.
Which I would definitely not want to pick as my starting quarterback.
I would agree with that. I would take Tom Brady it's like this. If we were picking top three or four, I would tell you definitely not. If we were picking lower in the first round, I'd have to think about it because you do want a consistent quarterback, put numbers up, and if you wait too long, you don't know who's going to be there left over for you. Now, it depends who goes ahead of us. Is it Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, who I don't know if he's suspended six games, I think. But, there's some serious thought process. And, who's the best player?
You say McCaffrey. McCaffrey's coming back from an injury, I believe.
Correct. Oh, a couple years worth of injury.
Kamara is facing suspension.
Yep.
You just don't know what's going to happen. DK Metcalf is a great pick, but who's throwing him the ball?
Here's the question you need to ask yourself when you're doing your list. Who is the top three guys non-quarterback? When you put your list together, who's the top three, four, five players, whatever you want to come up with, that aren't quarterbacks? Because, if you're picking middle of the round, most of the quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks, the Rodgers, the Bradys, the Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, the kid from Justin Herbert, a lot of those guys can be gone. If there's a run on quarterbacks, then after that, is it the receiver? Is it the running back? Who's the guy at that point that you want as a first round pick if most of your top quarterbacks? So it's an interesting conversation, and we're going to have a backup plan.
I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. I don't know, because we're talking about it on the show. But if I was faced with that decision, who one of the first people I think I would pick would be high on my list as a top five non-quarterback player?
Go ahead.
Travis Kelce.
Okay, it's a good pick. It would be a little bit of a stretch as a tight end, but not terrible. Not terrible at all.
The reason I say that, that I would take him is, I cannot remember the guy's name that went to, was it Percy? Not Percy Harvin. What the fuck was his name? The guy who got traded from Kansas City to Miami.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. I cannot remember his name. For $1 trillion, I cannot remember his name.
Okay.
But once that he got traded,
yep.
I think a lot of his looks are going to go Kelce's way.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think
Kelce's going to have a career year.
Yeah, I think when you start getting into that next group of players, you guys maybe think of the Deebo Samuels, the Tyreek Hills, the guys who get the ball in their hand, not only catching it, but running. It's that next group of guys, then it's the receiving core. Then you made a great point. DK Metcalf's a steal, probably, but who's throwing the football this year?
I will say this much about DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
You know what? If Geno Smith, let's say that Geno Smith wins the competition, or if there even is a competition.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Yeah, good question.
Well, let's say that Geno Smith starts. Geno Smith has never once ever had a receiver in his career like DK Metcalf. He came in and started for Russell Wilson when he was injured.
Right.
But he was never the long-term starter. So maybe it gives him just a little bit more confidence. Maybe he plays a little bit better, although I just think that he's too old at this point in time to play better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, probably. No, I would agree with that. So we're going to have some fun. Jeff and I are teaming up. We may be teamed up in two leagues, but we're definitely teaming up in one. I haven't decided on the John League yet, so we'll see. But John's joining our league, too. So we're going to have some fun, and we're going to start adding in. I'm giving Jeff a couple of weeks, but I think we'll add in a weekly fantasy football. Our top three, four guys for the fantasy for the week. We'll have some fun with that. Jeff's going to get into this, and we'll let you know when the draft. Who knows? We might even do the draft live on the show just to have some extra fun.
Listen, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll broadcast the. The draft live and maybe get some people to help us along the way, but we'll have some fun. Jeff and I are going to get together soon and talk a little bit about our strategy, which I'm looking forward to doing. So let's get into some real football, and I want to talk about the Jets and the Giants a little bit. I'll start with the Jets, and I want to start with some positive stuff first, okay? Not always some positive stuff with the New York teams.
Here's something positive. Yeah. I am positive that Daniel Jones will not be the quarterback in the New York Giants football team after Halloween. Positive.
All right. I'm glad you're positive. But I want to start with other good, real positive stuff. And that's where my man Joe Klecko finally getting on the ballot this year to be enshrined in the Hall of Fame. He's competing with a couple other bodies, Ken Riley and I'm trying to think who else. There's a couple guys. And
Howie.
Yes.
Chuck Holly, whatever
mm-hmm.
the fuck his name was.
Yeah, and listen, to me, there's been no bigger travesty than Joe Klecko not getting in. 1981, Joe Klecko, I believe, had 20 and a half sacks.
Yeah, but it was before they started
counting. I got you, but Joe Klecko was a monster at three different interior positions, tackle, end, and then, of course, nose guard. And Joe Klecko was as good as anybody, and the fact that he hasn't gotten in is a travesty, and I hope that gets righted this year because Joe Klecko deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But there's a second Jet that's up for the selection, the regular committee, Jeff. Do you know who that is?
No, I do not.
Darrell Revis is up for
Hall of Fame. That's next year, right?
No, he would get elected this January.
January 2023.
And then be inducted next summer. Yeah, so is Joe Klecko. This is all for next year. So there could be actually two Jets, probably doubling what's in the Hall of Fame now. But I think the bigger question, and it was funny, I heard it today, and one of the guys on the FAN, this guy, Brandon Tierney, he's a huge Jet fan. And he made the point, and it was interesting to me. He said, even though Revis had a great career, it's definitely a Hall of Famer. I can't see any reason why he wouldn't go in on the first ballot. He said, I'm not excited about Darrell Revis going in, because he won the Super Bowl with the Patriots, and Darrell Revis never came across as Mr. Jet. He may be the greatest Jet of all time at this point. You as a Jet fan, Do you have that same warm, gushy feeling about Darrell Revis and his career?
No. Whoever said this is just a twit.
Go ahead.
Okay. When Darrell Revis was out there with Cromartie, they formed one of the greatest defensive back teammates in modern times. The Jets defense, nobody could throw the ball on the Jets, man, back then. It was unbelievable. Imagine not being able to throw the ball to one side because Revis is there. And the next best thing is Cromartie on the other side. And you're like, you can't throw the ball there either. You're like, it's impossible to throw the ball. They were unbelievable back then. To me, he went out there. He played. Even if he wasn't Mr. Jet, who cares? The guy went. He wasn't sandbagging it. It wasn't like he played one or two great games a season. Every game was a great game. He was shutting down anybody that came his way.
Yeah.
You know, this guy was just unfucking believable.
Yes.
I don't think that he has to be like, you know, we got number 24 tattooed on him and so what? He went someplace else and he won a Super Bowl. You know what? He came back and he didn't have to do that.
That's true.
Okay? And even though he wasn't nearly the player that he once was, he did come back. So what did you miss him for 2 years? He went to Tampa Bay, then New England, and he came back.
Yeah, I don't know if it was 2 years in Tampa, 1 year in Tampa, but it was that was the route, yes.
Yeah, so you know what? All right, so chances are those 2 years that he was gone or 3 years that he was gone, he would have played great to okay, and the slide would have happened.
Sure.
And then he ended up just, you know, he had to just bow out, and then that was it because the guy just wasn't what he once was anymore.
Very true.
But he came back home. When was the last time you seen anybody in this league come back? Now, yeah, they paid him. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He got paid, all right, because they wanted to make sure that he came back. They needed him back for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But he could have turned around and said, you know what, no, I'm going elsewhere. I'm not. He was always a money player. From day one, he was always a money player. Perfect example of a money player.
I couldn't argue with you more. I'm not a fan of the guy personally. But probably, I tell you this, if you ask me him and Deion Sanders, I'd take this guy over Deion Sanders any day of the week and twice on Sundays. He played defense, he tackled, he was just as much, if not more, of a shutdown corner than Deion ever was. And actually, he didn't finish his career, by the way, he didn't finish his career with the Jets.
Who did?
Darrell Revis. He played Jets for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Went to Tampa, went to New England, 2 years back with the Jets, and then finished up with Kansas City.
How many games did he play with Kansas City?
5 games in 2017. Then it looks like he got hurt and was done.
So, yeah. So, I mean, what was his line there? He probably didn't even have an interception or many tackles.
I would tell you 2 pass defense. He played. Played in 5 games, only started 2. 2 pass defenses, 11 tackles.
Yeah, so what did he do?
I'm just saying, I did not realize he finished his career in Kansas City. That's all.
Neither did I. I thought he ended it in the Jets.
So did I, but yeah, he went to Kansas City after that, yeah?
When you hear those numbers for 5 games, there's times where he was making them kind of numbers in 1 game.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Listen, again, I have no issue with Darrell Revis. Never had 100 tackles in a season, but
very rarely does a defensive back get that kind of tackle.
No, you're right, especially at a corner spot. I'm trying to just look.
Most of the time, that's defensive linebacker, maybe a safety, maybe.
I'm looking for interception. There it is. 29 interceptions for his career. Most he ever had was 6, but there's a guy who didn't get thrown at a lot. Let's see. He had a 100-yard TD return for a touchdown once. A great career, no doubts. You throw away the stats. If you watch Darrell Revis play in his career, you know he was a great player and definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. So, to me, it's a very good possibility. The Jets are going to have 2 people going in next year. Into Canton, it's good for the team. Maybe the Jets will be the Hall of Fame game team. I don't know if they've ever done playing in the Hall of Fame game, but I think it'd be nice for the Jets and their fans to celebrate 2 of their greats. And I'd be sure, you know, I would tell you, to me, The NFL does too many players, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is a year. They put it, I think, up to 7 a year. To me, those two guys are locked down, no doubt, Hall of Fame players. So,
and the thing you got to remember is that you got Klecko from the past. You got Darrell Revis from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Zach Wilson.
Oh, my God.
You got Sauce Gardner.
Embarrassment. They wouldn't call him Sauce because he sucks so much so far.
No, that's
oh,
all right.
My God.
You got Brees. You got the other Wilson kid. You got a whole bunch of people just waiting.
Keep it up.
The Hall of Fame is going to be, the doors are going to be bursting open with green in a few years.
Did you hear what Brady Quinn had to say about your boy Zach Wilson? Said he is the most overrated player, the most undeserving player of that he's ever seen. That is a guy who was...
Wasn't he a crackhead?
No, you're talking to Ryan Leaf. Brady Quinn was a Notre Dame player, Heisman runner-up, went to the pros, and I think over the course of 7 years, threw for 3,000 yards. Definitely did not. I think he had a cup of coffee with the Jets, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
I almost
guarantee he didn't.
So let's take a quick look at where Brady Quinn. I know he got drafted by the Browns. Let's see where else Brady Quinn played. Brady Quinn blasts Zach Wilson hype after Jets. They want to work. I mean, listen, I will agree with him that Zach Wilson has been elevated to a stature not for a guy who's done absolutely nothing and looked terrible last week doing it. You're correct, Jeff. He played 4 years, three in Cleveland. He had three starts, nine starts, and then wound up his career for 10 games or so in Kansas City. So not much of a career. Did not play for the Jets.
None whatsoever.
And again, I don't disagree. But I think that's the hype of all teams. Everybody hypes their number one pick, especially when they're quarterbacks. And the Jets are just starved for – listen, this is not picking on them. They're starved to have that guy in that spot be great. And you try
except
everything.
The Jets aren't the ones hyping them up.
Well, they are, but it's the media. I'm not blaming the Jets. I'm not blaming him.
Of course they got to say he's doing better and he's looking better.
Sure.
And then what happens? He goes out and he fucks his knee up. You know, you have to turn around. You have to stand behind your players. Nobody is ever going to say, listen, it's the second year. This guy's a fucking bust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, Gumari Lou?
You're speaking. Nobody asked you about Zach Wilson.
Well, like I said, I would tell you.
He does look like he's in eighth grade, by the way. I got to agree with that.
Yes, he does. But again, you know, I'm all for teams trying to make sure that they give their players confidence. Has earned the right to be hyped. I agree with Brady Quinn. He does not deserve to be hyped at this point. He's done nothing to show it.
About Brady Quinn, I hope you're listening to this show somehow, some way. I'm telling you right now, you're fucking jealous. You're jealous. Okay?
That's what you're saying. It's a jealousy thing.
I'm not jealous of that. Just jealous that this guy has a career compared to what you had. Okay?
Well,
you couldn't catch on in Cleveland when they had no quarterbacks.
That's very true.
Okay? And first of all, you know, here's somebody, what did you say? He was the Heisman Trophy runner-up?
He was a Heisman Trophy runner-up at Notre Dame, yes.
Yeah. And what do you know about being great anyway?
Well, I don't think he's saying that he's a bust. He's just saying that he doesn't deserve the hype. And I understand it. But he plays in New York. You know, he's the fair-haired kid. You know, the Jets are they're all in on him.
I want to know, well, they have to be all in
sure.
on him. He's their quarterback, but I want to know where the hype is coming from. Who's giving him hype? I want sources. Who's giving him the hype?
All right, hold on. I want to bring up the article. I will show you the article if you'd like to see it, but I will certainly, it was in.
Yeah, I would like to see it, yes. You know why? Because to me, hype is this kid, he's going to throw for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns with 7 interceptions.
Okay, here it is. Okay, so.
Well, not that. I don't care about that article.
I want to see the
hype. Where's the hype?
So if Brady says, God, he looked awful. Can we acknowledge once again that the media he's blaming just continually tries to make it something? They're trying so. They want so badly for this to work out.
A draft is casino.
Hold on, sorry.
Of course they want him to work out. you're still not saying, where's the hype? Where's the hype?
Well, hold on. Let me finish the article. I've not seen a quarterback get more love for doing less from the media than Zach Wilson in a long time. It's really weird. I don't know if it's desperation for the Jets media and fans wanting it to work out. So obviously he's blaming the Jets, you know, beat writers.
Okay, so once again,
yep.
I'm asking where the hype is, and nobody can show me the hype. You know why?
Well, I didn't
One,
know
there it. Is no hype.
There's a lot of hype.
Second of all, of course they want to stand behind their player and make sure that
sure.
he does good.
Yeah.
All right, because if not, then they got to start all over again. Three, they already said they went out and they got him as much help as possible
mm-hmm.
so that he could be better this year than he was last year.
Right.
Okay. So what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Well, he's going to doubly suck this year because we went out and got him extra help. There's not a, if you're on a team
mm-hmm.
and you come up to the podium and you say, well, we're not going to do nothing this year because our quarterback is awful. Our offensive line is terrible. Our defensive secondary is non-existent. We couldn't kick a bad habit, much less kick a fucking 30-yard field goal. This team is in serious trouble. You'll never, ever, ever hear a coach say that. They're going to say, well, so-and-so went down. We got the next guy up. We're bringing in a few free agents now.
Yep.
We have a couple undrafted free agents that we're bringing in. We're going to be okay. This is a resilient team.
Yep.
Everybody's willing to stand up. That's what you hear from coaches. So this fucking idiot, whose career was over before it began, show me a definitive article where he's being hyped up. Because nothing that I read, they all keep saying he looks better. That's all they say. Where's the hype? Where's the hype? He's a second-year player. Just about every second-year player looks better in his second year than his first year.
Very true. Very true. I'm giving you a chance to get your the steam out and steamroll you and steamroll Brady Quinn.
Do as well as Brady Quinn, Harley Quinn, we'll call him from now on.
Uh-huh.
Have yet to show where the hype is, and I don't see the hype.
Well, again,
you're on Team Quinn over there. Where's the hype?
I'm not on Team Quinn. I just reporting what is out there. And
okay.
I will look it up and I will get you some hype I will put out there. I will say that I think that he, based on the fact of how badly he played last year, I have not seen anything this year so far. But again, I saw very little in the first game. He only played very little. Wasn't pretty when he did play. 3 of 5, an interception, and then could stay on his feet and hurt himself as usual. But I think that I'm nowhere near making a decision on whether I think the guy's a bust or not. And I think it's going to depend on a lot of things. I would not rush him back. Let him get healthy. Be 100% when he comes back. Don't rush him back for game one if he's not ready. That's the only thing I would say.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I would say if he comes back week 2, week 3, let it happen. Make sure he's 100% so he can defend himself out there. I think right now, the bigger question I have for them was, you know, they had made the decision to make George Fant their left tackle based on how he played last year. Becton goes down. They now signed Dwayne Brown, 37 years old from the Seattle Seahawks, sitting out there. Nobody wanted the guy. And he played really well the last few years. And then you bring him into camp late and slide him over the left tackle and now move George Fant back over to right tackle. I kind of disagreed with that, but I guess the fact that Dwayne Brown couldn't play right tackle is probably the reason for it.
Well,
so,
the guy started more games at left tackle than did at right tackle.
Sure.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
Even George Fant said after a while that he was okay with the move.
Yeah, I'm sure
right
he was.
Tackle.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, but 37 years old for an offensive lineman, that there are worse things happening in the league. And what is it, Alan Wentworth or Whitworth, whatever
yes,
his name
yep,
was,
yep.
that played on the Rams last year, I think he was 41.
I'm not sure he's that old, but it was definitely up there in
yeah,
the league.
He was old. He was older. And matter of fact, when they said his age, I was like kind of surprised. I'm like, wow, holy shit. So that alone, you know, like there's still some life left in this guy. And not for nothing, a 37-year-old offensive lineman, you know what, to me, it really didn't matter whether it was the Jets, the Giants, whoever, the Packers, the Dolphins. This was a guy that wasn't going to go till late in training camp anyway when somebody else went down.
Very possible. Not doubting any of that. Again, necessitated by the injury to Mekhi Becton, who's out officially out for the year now.
The Jets need to cut bait with him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that I can't imagine another offseason of is he healthy? How much weight did he gain? Is going to be any good for him or the team? You know what I mean?
No, definitely no good.
Yeah, Andrew Whitworth is 40 last year when he played, so you're right on the you're pretty much on the money.
So he has time.
Again, I won't say that he does or doesn't. I just thought it was a tough move to have to make, that they had to go last minute and grab a guy. But listen, still plenty of still a little time left in the preseason. Got another almost a month before the first game of the season. I think 3 weeks and change. So we'll, I'm sure it'll work out fine. But listen, I think this Jet team, I have no idea what to expect. And I'll say the same with the Giants. I went to a little bit of their practice. I watch everything every day. I read the paper every day. Very mixed messages on the Giants camp. From all accounts, Saquon Barkley has looked great. The receiving core has not. Daniel Jones has been iffy at best. And, and a lot of the starters on the offensive line have not played. Lemieux's been hurt. Feliciano's been in and out. And Golinowski's been in and out. So
let's just get right to the question.
Done.
All right. Two questions. One, how's your dad?
My dad is presiding over his president's meeting tonight, so he won't be around.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yep.
Oh, boy. His verdict is going to get overruled, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. He gets overruled at home all every night, so a whole different story.
That's one thing. Yep. Second, all right, you got everything you're saying. Darius Tony injured again,
yep.
Possibly, you know. Galladay, couldn't catch a cold. All right, Jones, iffy at best. Barkley, running great, running hard, running strong.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't count. And we don't know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tom, the question is, next year, if this is another 5-12 team, 4-13 team, are you finally going to step up to the plate, sit there, look me across the screen, and tell me it's time to blow this team up, or are we going to start looking to sign these guys to long-term extensions?
Well, again, I think this team would have been blown up this year, but they have a salary cap problem. So I don't know. I don't have this grandeur of hope that this team is going to be great this year. I think it has a chance to be good. I think the defense is going to be good. I love what I've seen out of Barkley on film. But again, until you get in the game. I thought the opening drive last week was a good drive. They went down the field. They marched down. Again, this is going to be an iffy season. This could be another 4-5-win team, or this team could win 9 games.
Let me give you a couple of worst-case scenarios, and then you tell me what you would do, okay? Let's say the receiving corps doesn't do anything to improve itself between now and the end of the year. Kadarius Toney is in and out with various fucking ailments.
Mm-hmm.
Galladay, at best, they're looking to trade. Was it Slayton or Shepard?
Slayton. No, Shepard, I think they just signed. They gave him a new deal. So, no.
Right.
But Slayton, I know they're looking to move.
Right. So, already I've seen articles about Galladay not doing anything.
Yeah, actually, there was one today that said he had his best practice in probably ever as a Giant today. So,
there's encouragement.
Yeah.
Right, so, that's that. The offensive line, that they're already worried about, it seems, the health of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, once again, the offensive line just improves slightly. Let's say that Barkley loses 2 or 3 games due to injury and just really can't get it moving because that offensive line is suspect. Daniel Jones just looks confused. He has no running back. He's got no wide receivers. Even if the Giants' defense improves slightly, what do you do? You're now the Giants GM. Tom, what are you going to do? Like, what do you do to get this team back? Do you just wait it out and wait till all these big contracts disappear? Or do you start cutting people and just, paying it and moving forward? What do you do?
Well, I think the contracts dictate it, but I think what you will see is if this is another bad team, even if Barkley has a good season, not a great season, I don't think you see him get the big contract. And I would also say same thing for Daniel Jones. You're not going to give Daniel Jones a 4-year, 20-something, $30 million deal off of being on a bad team. So I think it's going to come down to, how well they play. If Daniel Jones is lights out and Barkley plays great, the team's not great, that's a bigger question to me. So I don't know. I really, you know, they want to blow it up, but the problem is they're stuck with the Galladay contract. They're stuck with, you know, I think Blake Martinez's contract for another year. There's a couple of bad contracts that they're just saddled with. And you know, you got to hope that the little guys, Tony and Wendell Robinson, have big years. These guys have to have some big seasons.
I got a feeling, Tom, I got a feeling that it does not matter what Daniel Jones does. I think that the present leadership of that team does not want Daniel Jones, because if they did, I think that they would have at least signed up for the fifth-year option or declined the fifth-year option and tried to sign up to an extension. And that didn't happen. I think the only reason he's still quarterback on that team is because these guys want to draft somebody. They want to make their own mark with their own quarterback. And I think they're going to wait till next year and see who's coming out next year, because I just don't see them. I just don't see anybody really being comfortable with Daniel Jones at this point in time.
Again, it's hard. This is a very tough year for the kid. You know, you're still playing behind a patchwork offensive line.
Which is bullshit, by the way.
Well, it's not bullshit.
It really is. No. It's bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a patchwork offensive line.
Yeah.
How many years is this this offensive
10
line?
Years.
Was
10 years.
With Coughlin.
10 years.
Year.
10 years. It's 10 years
it's
of.
Hard.
Yeah. And it was funny because it was a long time that the Giants, even going before Coughlin, where the Giants had a great offensive line for more than a decade, and then all of a sudden, it just went to piss. So, he stuck with a bad receiving core at this moment. It could turn into a better one, but it's a bad one right now. It's a patchwork offensive line that needs to come together. So, you know, and it's another year of learning a new system for a guy who's on the bubble. And listen, this very likely, and I would tell you 60% or better, that this is probably the last year for Daniel Jones. He's going to have to come out and have some great games, even in losses, to get them to give him that contract, because – you know, you're going to talk about a team that might still be mediocre next year with a $30 million quarterback based on, you know, how well this kid plays. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't see that, only because I just don't see them. You're saying that they have salary cap issues this year.
Oh, absolutely. And next year's a little
probably
better.
It translates to salary cap issues next year. But they're probably going to be one of these teams that once they clear everything, you'll hear them going into free agency with like a $200 million.
Well, according to Joe Shane, Joe Shane said he wants to build through the draft, and I understand it. They want to build through the draft.
That's all well and good. But when you have some money, anybody's going to be inclined to fill plug and play.
Oh, sure. I'm so 100%. Yeah, 100%.
But right now, just because of the receiving core that they have,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they got burned in free agency with Galladay, and I don't care what anybody says, man. We'd never have made that move.
I agree with you, but I also do understand Gettleman's position. Hey, Johnny Mahefka, how are you, pal? Nice to see you. And, guys, just so everybody remembers, September the 4th is the very first. We'll be cranking up the Sunday Audible show. John and I will be hosting that day. Jeff may be popping in. We'll hopefully get Jeff to, on a better schedule, and we'll be doing some shows from that point on Saturdays. But our very first show, Sunday, August the 4th, probably 9 a.m. September the 4th. So make sure you.
Already happened.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. So make sure you guys stick around for that. We'll get a little more involved in social media and get some hype out there for the show. So
let's hit John. Hopefully, you could spend a few minutes with us so you could chime in here and there. We were just talking about the Jets and Giants. But while you're here, let's pick on the Steelers for a little bit. I'm trying to draw John in, and he's not taking the bait.
Not yet.
But I'm gonna be on him all season until I break him. That's my goal, to get him involved with all of this too. So, John, my question to you is, you have three quarterbacks on the Steelers, and hopefully you're still there. Who's starting for the Steelers this year? Who's going to be the man for the Steelers? If you could answer that for us. I'm curious to see what he says, because I've been reading a lot of things about the rookie. What, Pickett?
Yeah, Kenny Pickett
is his name, and I believe he's going to be the second string this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to see. Like, here you are, your second game, and it certainly doesn't look like he's going to be starting this year, because if he isn't taking first team reps now, you know, you only got one more game left, right? After this,
Yeah, only one more. You only got one more game. I'm just looking up a little bit of a Pittsburgh depth chart, and there are some of their situations right now. You know, I got to be honest with you. You know, I think if this was a younger coach, I would think he would go to Pickett and make the transition now. I think it's to Tomlin, who's trying to start the next generation. I do believe that Trubisky starts up there. I think Trubisky. I agree with John.
I think Trubisky starts, but you want to know something? I think that at best, Pickett is second string, his backup by week six and the rest of the season. I think Trubisky is going to have a revival, and it's going to stay the starter.
I don't think Mason Rudolph is a challenger to the throne.
This kid Pickett hasn't had a chance. Right now, it seems as though he's going to get second team reps.
Yeah,
he's not starting. So what you know, he's probably going to start week three, and you know, even by that, none of the starters. How many starters are going to be playing in week three?
Yeah, I think that's a difference. I think the new NFL and the new preseason, the way they do it, Jeff. The preseason is nothing. We've talked about this for the last few years. You know, it's that first month of the season is bad football, and teams don't get the wheels underneath until October. You know, most teams, you know, probably go 2-2 if they're at best 3-1, and most teams are still basically going through mini camps. You know, going through training camp in the first month of the season.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree with John. I still think Trubisky starts. If they get out to a good start and they're at the top of the division, it'll stay that way. But if, you know, if Trubisky, even if he's playing well and the team's not doing well, you'll see Kenny Pickett early. I believe that. I think he's the future. They're sold their soul on that one. I think that, you know, the guy's coming from playing next door. Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter. Maybe as early as John says. I don't disagree with him.
I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. I think the bigger question is if this team is going to bottom out this year, and it's possible. You know, they're in a tough division, but you know, you still got a little life in the Ravens, who I'm not sure about, and you know, I think Cincinnati is going to be good. Cleveland, I don't expect much from, but you know, tough division, really tough conference. You know, if they bottom out, do they make the move from Tomlin? I hate to think they should, because the guy's been ultra successful. But at what point? You know, it's been a long time since the last Super Bowl, Jeff.
Yeah, it has. But you know what? This is a different kind of team, though, Tom.
Well, that's the point. But you know, do you rebuild with the same old coach who hasn't gotten you there in years, or do you say, you know what, we're going to move you upstairs, you're going to take over vice president of operations, and we're going to bring in the next new young blood to take Kenny Pickett to the next level? That's a big question. I mean, I don't know if John has an answer, but you know, if you're Pittsburgh, Jeff, while he's been successful, he's been mediocre successful.
Yeah.
Right? No losing seasons, but you know, what playoff run?
It's still an accomplishment for him.
Agreed.
To do the things that he's done for as long as he has. Listen, look at the Jets and look at the Giants, right? Three coaches or four coaches in the last 5 years. The Jets, they change coaches as much as people change their underwear. There's plenty of other teams that do the same thing. Tomlin has had sustained success.
Again, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Look what John wrote. John wrote, he pretty much summed that up for your feelings.
But again, at some point, you know, 8-8, 9-7, 9-8 ain't good enough anymore. Like, when was the last real Steeler run in the playoffs? I'm looking it up now. John's got to know better than me. But at some point, you know, you need to win games and win a lot of them. Since they won the Super Bowl last, they haven't done it. So,
They haven't done it, but you want to know something? Every single year, okay? And I'm talking about since Peyton has been playing.
Okay.
And Brady was still winning Super Bowls in New England. What are the teams that they set in the AFC every year? New England, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Every year you hear them say Pittsburgh. I don't hear them say that. Anybody, maybe Green Bay in the NFC.
New England.
Well, New England, but New England hasn't been a quality team in about 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, I would say they've been mediocre since Brady left. Sure, I would agree with that.
It's just at this point in time, you can never, ever, ever in a million years tell get rid of Belichick. It's impossible.
Well, it's a different thing. That there's a guy who's, you know, you win 7 Super Bowls or 6 Super Bowls, whatever it is. It's hard to get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But let me ask you this question. So we pick on the Giants a lot, and rightfully so. But you know, if I told you, hey Jeff, your team can win 2 Super Bowls in 10 years, but you're going to be average the rest of the time, or below average, or for 10 years you're going to be an average or a little better average team, but you won't win a Super Bowl. What would you rather have?
Say that all over again.
Okay.
All right. Win 2 Super Bowls in 10 years.
Right. So you're going to win 2 Super Bowls in 10 years, but the rest of those years, okay? So let's say year 1 you win a Super Bowl, year 6 you win a Super Bowl, but everything else in there is either mediocre or below mediocre.
Okay.
Or you have a team that every year wins 9-10 games, and we're on a bad year they're 8-8, but they don't make any sort of run in the playoffs.
Are you referring this back towards the Steelers?
I'm just saying in general. This is just in a general conversation.
Is this question geared on what the
Steelers?
Well,
yeah, I would say, yeah. The answer to me, to the thing for me is, well, as an owner, you like to be consistent. You do want that time where that team is great and move on. You know, it's been a few years. It's got to be 10, 11 years since the Steelers have been a great team and had a great run. At some point, you know, being mediocre, 8-8, 9-7, up until, you know, let's say now it's a little different. The Mets are different. Or do you want the team like the Giants who, you know, from 2007 through 11, they won 2 Super Bowls and the rest of the time they were okay. Again, it's great for Tomlin.
We did this once before with Tomlin.
Okay.
And we looked at his record and we were all blown away because it actually, he had a great record.
Yeah.
And like he was 10-6, 11-5, 14-2, 11-5. So his record was better. What I think the problem is, honestly, is the Super Bowl wins or why they play the game. I think 2 Super Bowl. Well, listen, every time that you have a winning season, you're within the mix of winning a Super Bowl, John, too.
Not necessarily. You could be out first round. I'm talking about you
every year after year after year.
Yeah.
You have a chance of being, you now have a chance of being in it to possibly win a Super Bowl.
But wait.
Any team that goes home after week 17 has no
chance. Yeah, but then look at the Cincinnati Bengals with, what's his name as coach? What was his name? Was it Lewis? What the hell was his name?
I know the one you're talking about. He went to the playoffs. He was like 0-7 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, they were better than average every year. They made the playoffs every year, and every year they got bounced out of the first round. I'm not saying that happens to Tomlin, but at some point, Jeff, you got to go better than that. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, Tom, but you're 100% right. But you want to know something? Look at I can give you a list of teams right now, okay? Cincinnati, before that run, before Marvin Lewis.
There you go, Marvin Lewis. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Louis.
The Detroit Lions, the Cleveland Browns, the Jets, the Giants as of late. I'm trying to think of all that. The New Orleans Saints for how many fucking years? The Atlanta Falcons for how many years?
Mm-hmm.
That would give their left nut right now just to say they made the playoffs. Okay? And they would be happy enough just to get into the playoffs. There are teams that have gone decades without even seeing a fucking playoff game. When was the last time the fucking Detroit Lions went to the playoffs? When was the last time the Cleveland Browns were, wow, 2-34 or something in 2 years? And much less so if they made the playoffs, that alone was like winning the Super Bowl. Now, the thing with the Steelers is year after year after year, they were always in on the conversation, oh, this is a Super Bowl contender. Oh, so they never won the Super Bowl, but yet every year this is a contender. You know what? That ain't a bad thing, Tom.
Well, let me give it to you a little bit. So I got Tomlin's record every year with his results in the playoffs. Are you interested?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so year one, 2007, he was 10-6, lost in the AFC wild card game. Okay, good season.
10-6.
Good season. Overall, the guy is 154-82. 643 winning percentage. Very nice. Good.
And that's a great record.
Can't argue it. Okay. Year two, 12-4, won the Super Bowl. That's 2008. Okay? So far, so good.
And that might be the last year they actually won the Super Bowl.
Correct, 2008. So it's 14 years since they were in the Super Bowl and won it. Okay, now 9-7, no Super Bowl appearance. 12-4, lost in the Super Bowl to the Green Bay Packers in 2010. 12-4, lost to Denver Broncos in the wild card game. 8-8, nothing. 8-8, no playoffs. 11-5, lost to Baltimore AFC wild card game. Okay, so 2014 wild card game. Let's see. 10-6, lost to Denver Broncos divisional game. 11-5, lost to New England Patriots AFC championship game. 13-3, lost to Jacksonville AFC divisional game. 9-6, no playoffs. 8-8, no playoffs. 12-4, lost to Cleveland in the wild card game. 9-7, lost to Kansas City wild card game. You know, Jeff, there's one division, one AFC championship game and a Super Bowl loss in the last 12 years. You know,
okay.
I guess,
I'll tell you right now that as a Jet fan, I would sign up for that tomorrow. You give me that same run from 2008 to 2018, I'll sign up for that tomorrow. Most people would sign up for that tomorrow. You yourself have said on the show time and time again that teams are faced with a four-year window.
Absolutely.
So now, where's the four-year window? Because that sounds more like a two-year window at best. They went no more than 2 years without making the playoffs in that whole run that you just announced.
That's very true. 100% true. Yep.
So now, think of what other teams had the same sustained success over that time period, and I don't think there is any.
I would probably say New England would be in that category. After that, I'd have a hard time coming up with a third team.
The team that had probably, aside from not winning a Super Bowl, really in that time period, to win that many games, be in the playoffs, the chance to win. Okay, so they lost. I would say that, you know what, if anything, it's not bad coaching. Who's drafting? Who's signing the free agents? Mm-hmm. Who's drafting these players for this team that isn't getting the next piece they need to go to the next step? Well, that would be more the question I would ask.
8-9 in the playoffs, a Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl appearance with a loss, one AFC championship game, and that's it. Again, I agree with you. There's a lot of teams out there that would eat this up and be thrilled with this kind of record. All I'm saying is no reason not to pat the guy in the back. All I'm saying is, do you want at this point that after the season you could be blowing this up and redoing it? Is he the long term guy or you make a move?
I'm not saying that he should be patted on the back. I'm just calling it for what it is, where you have a very successful coach in today's day and age in the NFL. When you know that there's teams that are like pretty much branded can't miss, and they come out and they fall flat on their fucking faces. Look at some of the teams. Aaron Rodgers has won how many NFL MVPs? What is it, three?
Three, I think it's three, yeah.
Okay, the guy has one Super Bowl to his career.
Yeah, I 100%.
Okay. Pat Mahomes, probably the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years. He's going to win more Super Bowls than Brady. That was after his first Super Bowl win. Hasn't been back, was back to the Super Bowl once, lost, he's 1-1, okay? Peyton Manning, okay, didn't he lose just as many as he won the Super Bowl?
2-1, I believe, in the Super Bowl. Two games, two wins, one loss,
so, yes. There's a lot of people that are in this league who they have great expectations for, but they just never exceed those expectations. Tom Brady may be the only one that ever really exceeded expectations. He was drafted in what, the seventh round? Sixth round? Fucking Super Bowls?
Yep.
Who would ever have said that about him?
Yeah, good. Yeah, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom hanging out there until about 9:15, 9:30, whatever it is. We're having a fun show right now. I'm glad you guys are stuck around with us. Hard Rocket Sports every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. So make sure you come on back next week. We do this all over again. Again, I'll say it again next. We're 2 weeks away. Sunday, September 4th. About 9 a.m., we got the big Sunday Audible show returning, so go to SundayAudible.com. If you're going to be buying your NFL gear, please do it through the SundayAudible.com website. It shows where we are affiliated with Fanatics. We don't get any money out of it, but it does help us in the long range for the show. So please do us a favor. Go to SundayAudible.com to purchase any of your off-season or your in-season game-wearing equipment. And if you want to look for our helmets and jerseys, John's going to be doing a nice segment each week on some of the uniforms, new uniforms, and on the oh my God, throwbacks. That's all right, guys, throwbacks. So make sure you keep checking us out on Sunday. On it'll be Saturday mornings regularly, but the first show will be Saturday. That will be Sunday, September 4th. So make sure you check out the Sunday Audible right here on the Facebook network when you find us through SundayAudible.com. Anyway, I've got a few more minutes of show. We're talking football. We did a little on the Jets and the Giants. I want to do a little bouncing around. We ain't got much time left, so I do have a bunch of things that I want to get to Jeff with. Hey, Jeff, Bill Belichick was bitching and complaining about their first game with the Giants, saying that the Giants were blitzing way too much in a preseason game. I got a couple ways to look at it. My first way to look at it is, well, you're a big boy, pump the big boy pants, and if your team can't block it, then that's your problem. But I understand it's a first game. You're playing a lot of rookies. You know, both teams are just trying to see who they got. I'm sure Wink Martindale was trying to do the same thing. He wanted to kind of check out his defense. Jeff, how do you feel? Do you think that, if you're the Giants and you want to work on your blitzes and check out your team, you should be allowed? Or should you be dialing it back a little bit, facing a bunch of rookies?
I wouldn't worry about what Bill Belichick says, to be honest with you. All right, now's the time where you need to know who you're going into battle with. And Bill Belichick, this is somebody that was already caught once or twice and accused of cheating. So what are you complaining about, Billy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one thing. Second of all, I could see if you have your starters in there and you're taking your starters, and I'd say your offense, we're playing, okay? I send my defensive unit out there, and I tell them, blitz. Every down and you're out there, blitz. Okay, and your starting quarterback is getting pounded in the first quarter of the first preseason game. Then I could see him be a little upset. I'd be like, guys, come on, you know, this is – we're warming up here. You know what I mean? This means nothing. There's nothing at stake here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I could see his point that way. But once the starters sit down, this should turn into basically a real football game at this point in time because you're trying to get players down to a certain number. So you need to know what you have – Who's your third string inside linebacker? Who's going to be the, you know, you have eight defensive backs, but I'm only going to carry six. So who's going to be the two that are left out? I want to see these guys hit. I want to see them play. I want to see how they react. So for them, this is a real game. A real game, you ain't going to play in a real game because you ain't going to be on the team.
Yeah.
So that to me is how I would look at it. The starters, I may even go over to the coach on the other side and say, listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm not blitzing.